on Facebook this morning. Excited to be back. Was looking forward to maybe doing a drive-in service, but then we saw the forecast and knew we was going to be in some wet weather, so didn't want to get all the equipment put out there and then have to get everything soaked. But here we are back live, and boy, I'm looking forward to a time when we can all meet back together. We talked this week, me and Stephanie did, about how we take everything for granted. We even looked forward to going by Jack's last night and getting a chicken sandwich, and how we're ready to be back with our church family and go to Jack's at night and fellowship, and even put up with Ray Clevenger. Boy, we're looking forward to a lot of things. And today, we hope you got your Bibles with you. If you do, open them to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter 18, verses, we'll begin with verse 1 through 14. A very, very familiar story, this parable that Jesus was giving them at this time. And it's something that we, it's a privilege we have. It's a privilege we have called prayer. And I was thinking as I was preparing for this that we have really gotten to see lately how we take privileges for granted. Of how even simple things such as going out to eat, going to places, shaking hands with your fellow believers, or either, just being around people is something we have taken for granted. We've taken many privileges that we have, even in our nation, for granted for years and years. And even church, especially, we have taken for granted. We have been guilty of getting up on Sunday mornings and say, oh me, we have to go to church, or we have to do this and that. And I pray that when this thing is over, we say we get to do these things. We get to enjoy the privileges that God has gave us. Now, this morning we want to preach about this privilege that He has given us called prayer. It's a privilege that we do not use. We use it only when we're in trouble. We probably used it more in the last month than we have in a long time. But you're going to see in these scriptures this morning that as a Christian, we are to pray and not to fear. And we'll begin reading in chapter number 18 of Luke, verse number 1. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up his so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for everything you've blessed us with. God, we thank you for the opportunity and the technology you've given us. So even when we meet, we can be together through this this great technology you have given men, the ability to, dear Father, just to make it. Father, we thank you this morning for everything that you're doing through this. We know we may not see the big picture yet, but at the end of this thing, we're going to see who truly is in control. We know when we give you all the glory and all the honor. And this morning, I pray those listening that you give them the opportunity to understand their privilege of prayer, and that God, you open our hearts and minds, and we do thank you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As we get started this morning, the greatest privilege we have, I believe, is the one to be able to talk to a holy God. And it's one that we, as I said before, we've taken for granted of so much, and we tend not to understand how important it is to pray. But in this, in chapter 18, verse 1, it starts out like this. It says, he spake a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're given a command to pray. It's not saying what to pray about. It says that men ought always to pray. I believe that scripture is telling us that we must pray about things that are simple. We must pray about things that are hard. We must bring everything to God in prayer. You see, we are very guilty of bringing the hard things to Him and the easy things we think we can handle. I won't know how many times in my life I've got into a mess because I thought I could handle the easy stuff. I thought I could handle the stuff that made sense to me. I thought I knew what to do about it. And then after I got into a terrible mess, I would begin crying out to God. I'd begin crying out and said, God, you've got to help me. You've got to come through at this point. You see, during this time we've been dealing with this virus, there have been people pray that probably hadn't prayed in years. How much have they missed out on not praying about the simple stuff in our lives? So He's given us a command that we should pray. That's what He says. He says men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians chapter 17, chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. He says, verse 17, very simple verse, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, I thought about that before, and does that mean that we should go around all the time praying aloud so that people can hear us? But that's not what it's talking about. We know that Jesus condemned the Pharisees for that many times because they used that to feel like they was godly. The pray without ceasing means we could go continually with a prayer in our heart because Jesus sees the very intents of our heart. He knows everything about us. He knows what we're going to do before we even do it. He sees the very intents that we have on our hearts. Now think about that. How scary is that thing? But He says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ, will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So this command we have is to pray about everything and to go continually with a heart of prayer. And you see, as God's people, we say we've been praying. We say that we have been taking this scripture to heart. But how many times have we feared lately? How many times have people been in so great a fear? Now I'm not telling you again. Y'all know I don't teach this. It's to go out and just do what you think you need to do and that God's going to take care of you because you have faith. I believe we have to use our common sense that God give us. But also, I have saw people so fearful. I mean, people that I didn't ever think would be afraid of anything. Brother, they have been scared to death. And the scripture says we ought to go with a prayer on our heart and not to faint. Not to faint. We have God's promises in prayer. Listen, it's right here in these verses. Chapter 18 of Luke, verse 2 through 8. It says, and saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. She came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And now listen to these verses. This man, this old evil judge that was in this land, he didn't care anything about God. He didn't care anything about man. He just did not want to be troubled with this woman. So he eventually answered her request. That's not the God we serve. We see you can go to him as many times you want. You don't weary him. You're not going to change his mind. You're going, when you go and praying in his will, he will avenge you speedily. That means he will act on your behalf. Now, my time and his time is not the same. You see, I pray for this coronavirus to be gone and for church to be back normal and life to be back somewhat normal. Don't know that ever happened completely, but I prayed for that and I wondered, oh, it's been a month and I haven't saw anything happen. Listen, God, no, He's not on a timetable as I am. He's don't worry about what time it is. He knows what His will is and His time is going to be perfect. But my friend, you have a promise today that He will meet your needs speedily, that He will come on your behalf and He will work for you. You see, not only is there a promise in prayer, and then this command we're given, but there's also a product of prayer in this command. Verse number 8 tells us something. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. If you have faith this morning, then you ought to pray and faint not. If you have faith this morning as a side of a grain of mustard seed, it teaches that we can move mountains. So today we are so fearful, but are we praying? You see, if we are praying, we need to understand something, that God is in control and He's going to work on His timetable. So my friends, I want to encourage you this morning to relax just a little bit and don't be so excited, because God has got this thing. It's not my promises. It is the promises of God. All through Scripture, He promises that if you're His, He's going to take care of you. So this morning, you've been given a command to pray. I want to show you this also. There's a contrast to prayer. There's a contrast to prayer. Chapter 18, verse 1, the B part of this verse, says, "Men always pray and to not faint." Pray and faint. They're complete opposites. I looked up the word contrast. I can't remember the exact words it was, but it means that when you compare two things that are complete opposites. And that's what we see today, is prayer and fainting, or that word means fear, or it means falling down in weakness. And that they're complete opposites. You see, faint is weak in heart or failing in heart. Fear is a complete opposite of prayer, and fear comes being from weak in heart. It comes from being weak in faith. Now, I'm not telling you that your faith is weak because you go to the doctor. Again, you have common sense. I'm not telling you that your faith is weak because you won't step out in the middle of I-20 and see if cars will hit you. You have common sense. But today, if we truly trust Jesus this morning, we should not have any fear. We should not have any fainting. Although I know we're human and a certain amount of fear is natural. But listen, we got to understand something, that God is in control and nothing has ever overcome Him. I think we go back to what I have said for years, is we don't believe what we say we believe. We've been all walking around with Bible verses on our Facebook pages. I have started trying to post one every morning, and little encouragement is what I try to do, and everybody else is doing the same thing. But in doing this same thing, do we really believe what those verses say? We'll post a verse that says, "Trust in me and lean not on your own understanding." But then we'll leave that verse, we'll go to work, and we'll try to figure out what we can do to make things better. And listen, when we truly pray and give this thing to God, we need to turn it over to Him and not be fearful about it and trust Him today. Listen, there's going to come a point, I don't know when it's going to be, it may be a month, it may be 2 months, but there's going to come a time when life has got to get back to normal. And this is not going to happen until we truly begin trusting God. I said it this week, and I don't know how this thing, or I said it on Facebook, I don't know how it's going to take place. I don't know how it's going to end, but I promise you one thing, this virus will come to pass when God says enough is enough, and He will get all the glory. Won't be any glory to a governor. It won't be any glory to a president. There won't be any glory to a doctor, a preacher, nobody else. This thing will come in God's way, and God will wipe it out in such a way where He gets all the glory. And my friend, today you can take that to a bank and not faint. Don't fall down. You should pray. The contrast. Have you ever met someone who's truly fearful? Truly fearful. I have met some in the past who was truly fearful, but I've met some in the last month or two who are really, really fearful. And there again, I say people I didn't think were scared of anything. Man, I have met them, and listen, there again, I believe you need to take precautions and do all the things you can, but I mean, there's some people has took some things to extremes. They are truly fearful. And why is that fear there? It's got to be one or two things. Either that they don't really trust God, or they're trusting in themselves. I believe it comes back to the point where we tend to trust ourselves more than we trust God, and we'll get in there in just a minute. But you got to be careful, because the Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. I beg you to do what the doctors say to do and to mind them, but also there comes to a point when you simply have to trust the Almighty God. The contrast of these two things. These two things will control or navigate your life. Either you'll be controlled by prayer and trusting God, or you'll be controlled by fear. It'll be a constant control, this fear. It will control you. It will keep you down. It will make you sick. It'll completely destroy your life if you allow it to. You see, God's desire for us is that we trust Him, and in trusting Him, we have complete peace, and this thing is going to be okay. And listen, it's okay to think about these things sometimes, because you're human. You cannot do that. Me and Stephanie was talking this week, as humans, why do we want to destroy ourselves? Now think about this for just a minute. When it comes to eating, I love to eat. Those of y'all know that. But I love to eat. I love sugar. And I read all the time that sugar kills me. I love to eat bacon, and I read all the time that bacon is stopping my arteries up, and it's killing me, and it might one day. I don't know. I read all these things, and listen, I go everywhere, and I see people with these masks on and fearful. And again, I'm not against that. You do what they tell you to do. But these same people who's worried about that and won't go out of the house, bless God, they'll smoke and they'll drink and do all these other things that's harmful to their bodies, and it just don't make any sense. But as people, we completely are out to destroy ourselves because we have a human nature, and we just love to be wrong. We just love to dabble in what's wrong. So we've got a rebellious spirit that comes from that fall of man in that garden. My friend, you don't have a way out of it. Only through Jesus Christ can man escape this rebellious nature. We love to be rebels. Even the sweetest one of y'all likes to be a rebel inside. You just do. It's built in you. So we see the contrast of these two things, of prayer and fainting. But I want you to look at the condition. The condition of prayer we must be in. The condition. It matters. There are two conditions mentioned in this parable. We fit one of these. There's not three. There's two. There's two types of people who come to God in prayer. And we're going to look at these two today in this scripture. In verses number 9 through 14 of the same chapter, verse 8 of chapter 18. Listen to this. It says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves." Trust in themselves. Here we see the Pharisee. He trusts in himself in all that he has done or is doing. Trust in himself. We are so guilty of thinking that our relationship with God is based upon what we have done or what we are doing. I believe we should live as close to the Bible as we can. I'll never, ever teach not to do that. But I will tell you, your works will not save you. How you dress will not save you. How you worship will not save you. The only thing that will save you is the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will work. You cannot trust in yourself because yourself is weak and it is no good. But here we see this Pharisee. Bless God, he bragged about all that he had done and that he was doing. He believed he went above and beyond everything that was required of him. Listen what he says. He said, "The Pharisee stood and prayed within himself." Prayed within himself. "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are." Now, we may look at this and say, man, how bad was this Pharisee? But my friend, I promise you, if you could go back and look at your prayer life as God can, through times, there have been times that you prayed, you said, "God, I thank you that I'm not this. God, I thank you that I'm not that. God, I thank you that I. We can just put a whole line of I's right there. We should thank him for who he is and not what we've done or what we can do. You see, your past don't control you. Who you was then don't control you. And what you're doing now don't. It's only by the grace of God that you are who you are. And it's him alone that is in control." But this Pharisee, he trusted himself and he brought up the things. Listen to these things he says. He says, I thank you for I'm not an extortioner. I'm not the more extortioners. I'm not an unjust adulterer. God, thank you that I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I've never run around on my wife. I've never done these things. And I promise you, you could go back and you could find in this man's life where he was all of these things. Now, if he had a physical relationship with another woman, I don't know that. But I do know that he was a human, and the Bible teaches to lust your own heart is to commit adultery. And I promise you, at some point, this man had done that. So he fell into that, and he says, I'm glad that I'm not these things. He said, as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican. The man who was right beside him, he prayed that he wasn't such as this man. You see, the publican there in that time was simply a legal thief. They stole the people's money, the tax money. It's how they made money. Every bit they could get above and beyond what the taxes was, they got to pocket it. And listen, people did not like a publican, and they were saw as the worst of the sinners. My friend, how many times have we prayed and thought about how good we was, and then someone come up who had a reputation different than ours, and we said, God, I'm proud of what you brought me from, and I'm not like this person anymore. My friend, that's a wrong condition of prayer this morning. You see, when you trust in yourself, in the things you've done, the things you're doing, you are wrong according to the scripture. The Pharisees was pros at this. Listen to what he said he was doing. That's things he don't do, was just as this old publican, the old legal thief. He says, listen to what I do, God. I want you to understand what I do and why I deserve your grace and mercy. Listen to what I am. He says, I fast twice in a week. That's way more than they was required to do by their law. He was above and beyond in his mind what it ought to be. You see, I think me and you today, we are guilty of saying, God, have you ever just thought how good I am? Have you ever just looked, God, I have preached for 10 years, or I preached for 50 years, or I've taught Sunday school for this amount of time, or I've done this for this long, or I've been at church every time the doors open, or I've been good at this, I have done this, I've always put a whole list of things together of what we're done or what we're doing. And my friend, may I tell you this morning, unless you're the only way you're going to ever be right with God is to be in the condition that this publican was in. Listen to what the publican said. And the publican standing afar off, he wouldn't even come near. He wasn't worthy in his mind to come near. Would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. Wasn't even worthy. He understood that he was a lost, no good for nothing, a sinner. He was a tax collector. There wasn't anybody worse in the whole community than he was. He was the worst of the worst. Wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, this morning, we need to understand something, and here's fixing to be a bunch of reading, but we must read it. You, my friend, unless you're saved by the grace of God, you are a sinner. You either was a sinner, you are a sinner, but there's sin in your life at some point. Listen to this. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. This, to me, explains what a sinner is, what we are, what we was. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. We have both, for we have before proved both, Jews and Gentiles, that are all under sin. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat's an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of their asp is in their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And my friend, you and me fall under that right there. We have fell under that. If you're not there, it's by the grace of God he has saved you. But if he is not, then listen, you fall into this category, and that explains your exact character. That explains everything about you. We go through that one by one, but we don't have time. It explains what a man lost without God is. He rushes to deceit. His mouth is open sepulcher. He can't wait to talk bad about somebody. A man that has that sin nature that's in us. These verses explain it all so well, and how much sense it makes when you really ponder on it, that why we are no good in ourselves. I've said it a lot. People will say, oh, you just follow your heart and everything will be okay. But the Word of God don't say that. The Word of God says your heart's deceitfully wicked. You cannot even trust it. Your own heart is no good. Nothing you do is any good. You must come before God as this publican and not as this Pharisee. God, I'm not worthy to even look up. God, I'm a lost, no good for nothing sinner. You see today the reason people is not in our churches. Well, obviously not in our churches today because of the virus. But why when we could come? Why they were not? I'm talking about people who was getting saved at youth events. So they say they had a changed life and all this. But listen, ultimately there was no change. There was no change because this thing, they had not been changed. They had not been saved. I'm not a judge this morning. I cannot judge that. I can simply look at the fruit, and I know of my own life, and I know the Scriptures. If you look back through Scriptures and you see the people whose lives was changed, there were some things different about them. Number one, they desired to be around the house of God. They desired to be around God's people. They desire to be around the things of God. When a person is changed and becomes spiritual, they desire the things of the Spirit. Now listen, you're still going to have sinful desires of flesh as long as you live. That's just going to be there. But there should be something in you that desires to be around God and around God's people. And I've said this, and I'm about to get myself in trouble, and everybody's phone's about to turn me off. This not coming to church thing's only really affected about 10% of our congregations. You say, oh, how do you figure that? You see, because we have had the ability to come to church on Sunday mornings, on Sunday nights, and on Wednesdays. And boy, it's been like pulling teeth for years to get people into the house of God. I had a pastor one time that he said that people come on Sunday morning just to fit in, just to be social. They come on Sunday night because they love the preacher. They get there on Wednesday night, they love the Lord. You see, I believe when a person is dedicated to God and there's been a changed life, I believe the desire to be around God's people. And listen, for years, churches have struggled. Now, I understand some don't have night services, and that's to their business. They can the right to do how they see fit. I don't think there's anything wrong. I'm not saying I've got the best way. But what I am saying is that if you desired to be around God's people, as many people are affected by this thing, they said there is, when this thing opens back up, we should have every seat full Sunday morning. All the churches around, there's enough. There should be every seat full on Sunday morning. There should be people here on Sunday night. There should be people here on Wednesday nights. We should be taking advantage of what God's blessed us with if we say it's really affected us. That was free. I'm not going to charge. We must see God's mercy, as this publican did. Look at Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 26. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh justify in his sight, for by the law is not a sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Listen to this. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, the law condemns you. The law is a schoolmaster. It lets you know that you're a sinner. But in keeping all these things the Pharisee did, he could never be saved. We're saved today when we, as like this publican, come and we say, God, I'm a sinner. God, I'm not worthy to even lift my eyes. It's only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that I am made worthy. That's when we get in contact with God. Verse 14 says, I tell you this man, this is verse 14 of chapter 18, I tell you this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. That's the condition of prayer. This last one's a confidence in prayer. The confidence we have in prayer. If we pray in the right heart, God will hear. In that verse 14, he said, that man went away justified. We can have confidence if we come to God in the right heart. He'll forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And he'll work speedily on our behalf. He promises this. He promises we prayed in the right heart, he will hear. But if we will be exalted, if we will be exalted or lifted up by ourselves, which fades fast with circumstances, all the self stuff we've done, how fast could it fade? There's been people in the last month who have lost millions of dollars, exalted in themselves, not able to give as they once was able to give. All that stuff is gone. All the things they was able to do is gone. Hey, you can't even teach your Sunday school class right now. Most of us can't even come preach before a crowd right now. We can't do any of the great things we've done for God right now. Boy, we're just hindered, aren't we? You see, I think God's teaching us. It's not about what you can do, but it's about what I have done. We can have confidence in this prayer. You see, our righteousness is based on circumstances. One circumstance can change it. One sickness can come, and I can be in the hospital. I can be in ICU. I can be gone for all matters. But the circumstances with God never changes. He is always who He says He is, always does what He says He'll do, never once changes. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and we'll close. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Church, I beg you to come at a time to a time in your life when you pray instead of faint. Pray instead of faint. We have, boy, been a nation scared to death for the last little while. And again, I say again, I know it's normal. We're humans. But if we pray and we're in the right condition, you can have confidence that He'll hear you. I can't promise you when the answer will come, but I can promise you that He'll hear. If it's according to His will, He'll work speedily. Church, I beg you to get much in prayer, not just for this virus stuff. You see, this is going to be gone one day. But I pray that you get praying for these lost souls and these people who have no concern about God. No concern, who have come to God on their terms. I've heard people say, me and God's got a deal. You and God don't have a deal. The only deal you have is what the Scripture tell you. You come as this publican or you don't have a deal. You come humble before God and realize you're a sinner. And He will save you this morning. You can go away justified. I thank you for watching. I get a few announcements and then we'll be done. I have announced that we will have our homecoming and our building dedication and our 150th anniversary, maybe all in one day. I know it'd be a busy day, but it would be a great day. Our building, give you a little update, our building is coming along nicely. Got the drop ceilings in, all the stuff is going good, looks good. Excited to be able to show it to everybody. Excited to be able to sit in there and eat and not have to stay 6 foot from one another and not wear a mask and not wear gloves and not look like I'm in a sci-fi movie. I'm ready for that day. So we will get you a date. So we can't say the homecoming has not been canceled. It's been postponed. I saw it on some signs. Maybe we should put it on our sign about postponing it. But we will have it. I don't know when it will be. I don't know of anybody that could answer that question right now. But we will try to have it. I hope it's towards the fall. Hope it's somewhere the fall of the year. Maybe we'll have everything in a good place. And I ask you to continue to give on the Tithely app. We still have bills that are coming due. We need you to give. And most of all, I need you to pray. I need you to pray for our church. I have people ask me all the time. Even our newspaper reporter asked me, where do you think this is going to be after this? I saw a Facebook post about things we should be ready to do after this. We're going to need a lot of prayer to try to figure out how to navigate this thing as we get ready to come back together. And in any leadership position, I'm going to make some wrong decisions because I don't know the future. But I ask you to pray, ask God to enlighten me and give me the ability to lead you in a way that is right. Because I want to see us, not just us, but all churches, come out of this thing stronger than when we went in. I was guilty of my own self of saying at the first there would be many places that would close because my first thinking on this was people's going to get used to sitting at home and having the preacher come through the Facebook or through websites or different things. But the Bible teaches we should assemble together if we can. I know we can't right now, but if we can, it says don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. What's been so hard in this thing for me as a pastor is everything I desire to do, we have to be together. And we can't. I thought about, well, I want to go see. You can't. I want to get people and let's have a. We can't. this has been the hardest thing that pastors, not just me, but every pastor's had to navigate through. I ask you to pray for them. I thank you again for being with us. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll dismiss. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. God, we thank you for showing us the two conditions we come to prayer. And God, I ask you this morning that you would let every one of us see that we must come as this publican. We must understand that what I've done and what I'm doing is absolutely no good. My righteousness is as filthy rags. The only hope I have is in the blood of Jesus Christ. God, I pray if there's someone that hears this that don't know you, to open their heart. God, we know that it's much more than just a prayer. God, it's a change. It's a repenting. It's a turning. God, I pray that you change people today. God, I pray that when we see, are we able to come back together, that we see a great harvest. God, there's been seeds planted throughout the electronic stuff. More people's able to hear the gospel than ever. God, I pray these seeds, someone will water, but you give the increase. God, I pray for a great harvest. God, I pray that you touch each one of our members. You give us a desire when the time comes, we're back in God's house. God, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.